We had a weird rumor going down out of Birmingham, making a pitch to host the Raiders in 2019. This is a weird one, so we're going to talk to one of the experts from NBC Bay Area, Scott Baer.
It's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
And Adam Hill.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
4 o'clock hours here, Cofield and Company, Road Show, Thomas and Mackin, ready for a UNLV game against Air Force. Weird rumors today about the Raiders and we're going to play in 2019. I don't know what to make of this one, so we go to the expert, Scott Baer, NBC Bay Area. What's up, Scott?
I literally just hit send on a story that hopefully explains a little bit of all this insanity. And no, there was no content in there about their playing in Birmingham, so that's at least some solace to fans that want to see them stay in the time zone.
So was this rumor? I saw Birmingham and Tucson working together on hosting the Raiders. Where did this come from?
Yeah, it sounds like a publicity play more than anything else. Birmingham wants to be treated like a major league city or a bigger town. They got a nice venue in Tucson. Reached out to the Raiders a while ago, hoping that maybe the Silver and Black would come down there and check things out. But ultimately, starting late last week, and this comes from the Coliseum Authority Executive Director, I spoke to him today, and he's saying that the Raiders have reengaged in talks with the Oakland to play 2019 at the Oakland Coliseum. So while nothing is done, there's at least progress in that regard, that those two sides are sitting back down at the table after a dark period that started in December when the city of Oakland sued the Raiders and the entire NFL for antitrust violations and breach of contract.
Scott, take us back a couple of weeks when the news emerged, reports that the Raiders may play at the, I don't even know, what's the Giants field called now? Oracle, that's right, Oracle Park.
Oracle Park, yeah.
Where did that come from, and inform the audience here in Vegas how that quickly fell apart?
Yeah, well, the Raiders and the San Francisco Giants engaged in meaningful and productive discussions to play the season, the entire 2019 season, at the ballpark in San Francisco, and the 49ers blocked it, in essence, because there's a rule in the NFL bylaws specifically addressing the Bay Area team, saying that the 49ers cannot play within the Oakland city limits without approval, and the Raiders cannot play within the San Francisco city limits without approval. I believe, and I emphasize that term, I believe that the Raiders thought the 49ers wouldn't care because they're getting ready to leave a major market, and that they would kind of rubber stamp the Raiders playing in the city of San Francisco, especially with the 49ers playing 50 miles south in Santa Clara. That was not the case. The 49ers were not going to do that. They were not going to do that, especially after they weren't kind of formally included in discussions when the Raiders were marching down that road to play at Oracle Park. Oracle Park was a nice, happy medium, despite the fact they would still have to play on infield dirt because of two reasons. One, they didn't want to play at Oakland Coliseum because of the whole lawsuit thing. And Mark Davis doesn't like Levi's Stadium, its location, the fact that it's all red with a 49ers museum and Super Bowl trophies and odes to Joe Montana. So Oracle Park was a nice, happy medium to keep them close to their Alameda training complex. Ultimately, the 49ers put the kibosh on that and didn't allow that to happen, which has kind of led the Raiders to circle back around and re-examine talks that had already occurred during the fall about returning for one last hurrah at Oakland Coliseum.
It would seem on the surface the Coliseum is kind of the only option right now then. I mean, there's all these options, but none are really, decent for the Raiders if they want to stay in the area. They don't want to train in Oakland and play their games in Birmingham. They don't want to play in Mexico City. I mean, all these things that have been crazy rumors out there, it seems like they're kind of limited to the Coliseum. So does the Coliseum then say, okay, you have to come here, so here's your rent?
Yeah, they absolutely could. Now, I'm curious if they end up playing hardball or if they continue discussions on a one-year lease for $7.5 million, which is a considerable upgrade over what the Raiders were paying recently, but something that was kind of within the ballpark of rationality as opposed to making it an eight-figure deal and holding them over the coals. One thing is that while there are some Oakland City Council members, I believe, on this Coliseum board, there's also a degree of separation between the city of Oakland, which is trying to sue the pants off of the Raiders and the league, and and this Coliseum authority. It's a complicated situation, but to answer your question directly, in a simpler way, yeah, you're right. If they want to stay local, this is about it. All the college stadiums that you could think of at Cal or at Stanford or at San Jose State, they all have different problems or different issues that don't make them options. And really what it comes down to is if you want to have them close and you don't want to go walk into John Gruden's office and say, hey, coach, you're going to play 20 road games, then ultimately Oakland Coliseum is the right place to be.
Yeah, if they're going to play at San Jose State, they might as well come to Sam Boyd Stadium. I mean, that's not,
exactly.
Not much different. Is the Coliseum prepared for them to come back? And I said, I know the A's still play there, but I was actually at the train station up there last week. It looked like there's a ton of, like, industrial waste and, like, seats. Like, it doesn't look like it's that close to being ready to be a stadium again.
Yeah, it's going to be by the time that they would need to use it. They use that venue for a lot of kind of strange stuff, and they also have to do some sort of renovation because despite the fact that we've seen lots of pretty renderings about where the A's are going to play next, they're freaking nowhere. So, I mean, the A's could be playing there for a long time. So you probably saw some, at least hopefully, some kind of plumbing issues that can be worked out so the place doesn't smell like a sewage treatment plant every time you go to the locker room. But yeah, ultimately, you know, I'm curious to see the type of spin that is going to come out of this thing. If they do end up staying at Oakland Coliseum, if that ends up being the spot where they end up, and that's still not a done deal yet. You know, if it's, oh, we did our due diligence and this is the best place for us. When I think in reality, and I kind of tell you guys this because you guys aren't here in the market, it's been a cold reception for the Raiders this year more than others. There's been less of a willingness from politicians especially, and even the local teams, to help out the Raiders as they continue the final leg of their transition to Las Vegas. And that obviously counts the 49ers that they wanted them to come to Levi's and pay some rent and earn some money down at Levi's. They didn't want the optics of playing in San Francisco. You know, the A's aren't going to move a muscle. The Oakland politicians aren't going to. And actually, they started making phone calls to their brothers and sisters in the San Francisco political sphere and said, hey, don't help them. Don't don't let them make any progress towards Oracle Park. So I wouldn't say that they've met resistance, but they've definitely met with some shrugs and some inability to kind of help through the 2019 season. And while I think in general the Raiders have been decently well received and taken care of since they've been approved for relocation, that includes from the fans who show up on game day, this last one, right, like as we get ever so close to the Mayflower van heading to Henderson, you know, it might get a little chillier the closer we get.
Scott Baer is with us from NBC Bay Area, as we were actually opening with the weird rumor today that Birmingham and Tucson were going to make a run to share the Raiders' home games. That's, as it turns out, appears to be complete bunk. I don't know if you're going to have an answer for this, but I wonder if you've talked to the NFL. What would happen if the Coliseum is $15 million? Is there any point where the NFL actually steps in and goes, you know what, how about we help the Raiders? How about we help them try to find – it's amazing how hands-off the NFL is with one of its 32 franchises as they're, to me, publicly embarrassed for months.
I think ultimately and this has been – it's grabbed a lot of headlines locally and nationally, and I think that the commissioner and the league – I think – I haven't talked to someone from the league about this, so I have to preface it. But I think that the league just wants this to be resolved in some way, that they just want it to be over with. And the last foreseeable relocation to be done and the last angry market to be – you know, moving on towards the future here. So, you know, ultimately, I think the league would prefer it if they played at Levi's. Let's not forget that with all these G4 loans and the Vegas stadium is getting one themselves, they paid $200 million to build a stadium in Santa Clara, and that is constructed to house two teams, right? So they could easily just go down to Levi's. It's built for two teams. It's 30 miles from your front door. It's a short bus ride. It's there and ready, and you don't have to make a single change to the venue. Just play there. That's it. Just play there. And that's what they would have preferred, I think, ultimately. That's what a lot of people within the league thought made the most sense. It did not make sense to Mark Davis. It did not make sense to the Raiders, you know, for a lot of reasons why they didn't want to play there. And then after this territorial rights issue with Oracle Park, I think – the relationship between the – I don't think the 49ers and Raiders are sending Christmas cards next December.
No.
And I definitely don't think that Levi's, after Oracle was kind of shut down – and who knows, maybe you guys can play this tape back next week after they've agreed to a Levi's lease or something. You can rub it in my face.
Because
this thing changes every 15 minutes, right? But ultimately, I just think that they weren't going there after the territorial rights at Oracle Park were exercised.
Let's close talking some personnel. Do the Raiders have interest in Antonio Brown? Would they trade one of those first-round picks, the ones in the 20s, to get AB?
I wouldn't, especially after all the misgivings. And I mean, for some reason, the reckless driving and all the crazy comments bother me less than the blonde mustache. That one really is a red flag to me.
It just is.
I mean, I don't want anybody on my team with a Demolition Man, Wesley Snipes haircut, like none of that kind of stuff. But, you know, nonetheless, I don't know if they have interest. They're pretty tight-lipped over there these days. And you can, and I wrote something today that John Gruden had a bunch of really nice things to say about Antonio Brown. He has a bunch of nice things to say about a lot of people that he doesn't employ. So, but ultimately, the Raiders are an option for Antonio because they have the draft capital. They have the money. They need a complete positional overhaul. They need a number one and all these other types of things. And John Gruden got a heck of a lot out of Jerry Rice and Tim Brown. And yeah, Antonio Brown is in that discussion. So I think there's a lot of reasons why it could work. I don't necessarily know if they're going to reach that far out. If I'm the general manager, which it's fun to play one on TV, those three first rounders are mine, and nobody's getting them without paying a king's ransom. So I think if you want 35, the first pick in the second round, okay, we can talk. I don't know. Is Antonio Brown the mercurial sort of a high risk acquisition that may drop him into the third round? I'm curious to see what that market's going to ultimately land on. I know this guy is a supreme talent. He's going a little TO these days, and that always worries you.
Last one. We got about a minute left here with Scott Baer from NBC Bay Area. Bryce Harper to the Giants? Is it going to happen?
Oh my gosh! I think that my website has pushed out, I don't know, 28,000 or 30,000 Bryce Harper posts. It's like Bryce Harper sneezed. That means he loves the Giants. He once posted on Instagram that he thought the Transamerica building was cool. That means that he's definitely coming to the Giants, right? 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 That's so freaking bad with so many holes that they need something to cling to. That's what the Giants normally go for. I'm still not holding my breath on that. I don't know if they're going to be able to put together the longest term offer that could be enticing to a talent and obviously a Vegas raised superstar like that. And I say that as, I don't know, he's probably my favorite individual player in this game.
Really?
So I think it would be, I just like guys that play extremely hard and don't care what you think about them, and that's him in a nutshell. So ultimately, you know, I don't know if he ends up there, but he's going to get paid by somebody, and then they're going to market him and make a bunch of money off of his name and likeness.
Scott, we appreciate it. I know you have a very busy day today. I think you got GSW coverage coming up tonight. You can follow him on Twitter, at BearNBCS. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, gentlemen.
There you go. Scott Bear, on short notice, coming on with us to say the Birmingham-Tucson partnership to host the Raiders in 2019. Bunch of bunk.
No, I think
not fake news. Not fake news, because it was a legit reporter who threw it out there, but maybe some cities trying to jump into the fray just to get a little bit of attention, and they did throw out the line. Since no one else wants the Raiders, we'll take them. To me, this is I don't understand why the NFL doesn't get more involved. This is totally embarrassing for the league. All right, NBA on the other side is a veteran announcer with ESPN who covers the NBA. Adam Amin is up on Cofield & Company.
Now, back to the Thomas and Mack for more Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to go where we want it to go here.
No lyrics.
Well, no, this is perfect, actually, on radio.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
We want to talk NBA with Adam Amin from ESPN.
No, we don't.
But it's not going to happen. I'm infuriated by his Twitter. I'm sorry, man. Every one of your rules on karaoke is wrong.
They're all wrong. How are they all wrong? I mean, I'm happy to listen to a defense. I just want to know where your head's at. That's all.
Well, first of all, I like that certain songs can't be played before 1 a.m. That's interesting.
Yep.
Yes. And I think it all comes down to philosophy. When you pick your karaoke songs, are you doing something that you like and you're trying to be creative, or are you trying to get the crowd involved? There are two philosophies on this.
I think you can dip a toe into both waters. I feel like it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, but you can't have one without the other. The crowd's not going to be into it if you're not into it.
Hmm. Like, I think you banning Four Non-Blondes, while the song is annoying, people like it, and you really get a crowd going with that song.
But only if you perform it well, and it's one of those things where I'm like, listen, if you're not going to – there are caveats to everything, you know, that you and I will probably lay out in front of us in terms of ground rules, but if you can't perform that song, if those notes were not meant for your voice, you're not going to get the reaction you want to anyway. You're going to get people laughing.
Yeah.
And if you have a particularly gracious crowd, maybe they cover for you and you get everybody going. But that's only if you've got a very gracious crowd and you've already won them over.
And that's the thing. I think anthems, there's some rules to it. I think crowd anthems can save your ass if you don't have a voice. Everyone will pitch in and start singing along with you.
You need the gracious crowd. I agree with you. But I agree with you on that, because if you got the right people in there, in the room, you read the room correctly, they might jump in, help you out. Like I said, don't stop believing. I mean, if you want to hit that at 12 in the morning, 12:30, that's fine. But that better be the whole ball.
No, I'm with you on that one. That is tough. Anything Journey is tough.
Journey's tough. I've always thought that Bon Jovi is tough. The higher registers for most of the gentlemen out there, I feel like, you know, they may not be able to hit those notes.
Now I'm clearly not.
I like the seriousness at the end there.
No, I'm clearly not as experienced and, you know, versed in the karaoke world.
Oh,
as
yes, you
guys
are. You're
as you guys
liar.
Are.
It, you're a
it's
liar.
It's all within you, man. I promise. It's just inside of you.
You did what you did, Ludacris, last week. What's Your Fantasy? That was brilliant.
It was a
nice duet. Very clean version of the song.
It really wasn't clean at all.
No, it wasn't.
But
I feel
like if you can actually sing, you shouldn't be doing it at karaoke. Like, you shouldn't be doing a ballad
Hallelujah.
If you can really sing.
Hallelujah.
Oh, so you feel like, you know, there's the karaoke is made for a certain range of skill set.
Yeah.
Like, just as I said, certain songs may be out of your range, but you're saying in general,
if you're too good,
like, there's a certain range that you're allowed to do some of this stuff.
If you're too good, then it's ridiculous. I've seen someone walk into a bar and do Bohemian Rhapsody, and I was so pissed off. I'm like, you're a professional. We are clowns. What are you doing banging out the song? And it was brilliant. They nailed it.
What was the crowd reaction like at that moment?
Oh, they went crazy. They went crazy. It was one of the classic karaoke places in Vegas, and they freaking loved it. But I knew they were strip performers. And another lady's doing songs from Chicago. It's like, get out of here. All that jazz. It's like 19 minutes long.
Lady Gaga, yeah. Star is Born moment right there.
Yes.
So that's how it started. You did tweet that you added Shallow to the list of songs you're not allowed to do at karaoke. Why did this get picked to be on the banned list?
All right. I got to tell you, it was an emotional day. I found the video of Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga singing it live.
Yep. In Vegas.
In Vegas together. Well, you guys saw that the other night. They're getting ready to do it at the Oscars. I mean, that might be sacred territory, especially if that thing wins Best Picture. I don't think it will. I know the Vegas odds are against it, but I think if that wins Best Picture, that song might be off the board. I know nobody's gonna follow that order either, because if it wins Best Picture, everybody's gonna want to sing that song.
Yeah, I thought you were going a different direction. I thought you were saying that, you know, you just didn't like the song. You're saying it's sacred,
it's too much,
that you can't do it.
Oh, no,
I get it.
You can't touch it at this point now, man. That was an emotional 5 minutes. I was on a roller coaster watching that video.
No. I was at a bar in Boise last week covering UNLV, and there were a bunch. They played it on the jukebox, no karaoke, but like five people at the bar started just singing it and borderline crying. I'm like, what is going on here? Not at a bar. I'm trying to get drunk.
They might have already been at that point. You may have had the same reaction had you already been drunk.
No, we did play. We played Juicy Coming Back here because we did see a clip of you singing that last year on your Twitter. Can you pull it off though?
I think I pulled it off fairly well. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I'm some champion of it, but I think I pulled it off at a relatively high level for not being a, surprisingly enough, a strong lyricist, believe it or not.
Because we listened to the chorus, it was fine, but the, you know, obviously the rap verses are tougher.
They are very difficult, but I think it's easier than, this isn't a Twista song, you know, like you're not going to get tongue-tied in the middle of it as long as you can keep rhythm with it.
Twista would be, if you could pull off Twista, do it. I'm saying that right now.
If you can pull off Twista, you're probably Twista, actually. Like, you probably, Twista probably walked into a karaoke bar and was like, hey, let me sing my own song. And that's probably what ended up happening.
All right, Adam, we'll see you. Now, let's get to a little NBA. We love karaoke, by the way. You can tell we love karaoke, and Adam brought up your Twitter account. I was like, oh, yeah, let's do this. let's talk NBA first. The story of the day, it wasn't tampering, right, with the Lakers and Ben Simmons, but tampering is still a big topic in the NBA, but I'm not exactly sure what the NBA can actually do about it.
It's almost like judging intent. How do you judge intent of a meeting? You know, when Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson are saying, well, it's going to be a workout, you know, the NBA goes diving into an investigation. Well, how do you judge the intent of these things? You know, can you judge what the actual result of a meeting is? Are you going to know what the result is in 5 months when free agency rolls around? Like, how, you can't judge these things in the space that they're happening. So it's just a weird scenario that the NBA has kind of found itself in, because frankly the players are putting themselves in these situations. I want to sign here, I want to play for this team, I want to play for that team. And what is Adam Silver supposed to do? Any deterrent that he's looking for to kind of get things back to a status quo in a situation where you may or may not really be able to officiate these things. So it's just a very odd time for the NBA, the dramatics of everything, you know, the arguments about TV ratings, all these things are playing a factor into how this weirdness is being perceived by the general fan of the NBA right now. So it's a very strange time.
Isn't it good for the, like, these things are fun and good for the league, right, though? I mean, they want to discourage it, but at the same time, it's good.
Yeah, I think this is what drives a little bit of traffic. That's what has made the NBA I wouldn't say 12-month gig, but like a 10-month at least gig, where you're following it on a consistent basis. The Summer League has become more of a viewership draw. So, like the NFL did, it turned itself into this cycle, and that cycle is probably beneficial in a lot of ways. For a lot of players, for especially high-profile players, you know, I know everybody was kind of talking about the Kevin Durant thing and how he was complaining about the media coverage. And then what is he doing the last 2 days? He's on Good Morning America. He's on Get Up. His show, believe, ironically enough, coincidentally, appears on ESPN Plus with my buddy Jay Williams. And, you know, like, this is a two-way street. So if they want to play up the innocent victim role in all this, so be it. It's probably a good marketing strategy at the end of the day. But let's also not kid ourselves. This is a two-way street. The players want, you know, benefit from a lot of this. I understand they may not love every bit of coverage, but they're benefiting pretty good from it in some way, shape, or form. And it's also helping drive the NBA conversation at a time where, you know, in the past, people may not have been paying attention.
Should the NBA officials have any access to Twitter after this Bradley Beal explanation of being a travel? Come on.
Somebody pointed out, like, did you just find a loophole in the traveling rule where our players just going to take two steps and then lose control and then regather it back? I get that. I get what the written definition is. But I'm sitting there watching this and going, guys, come on. This is as common sense of a traveling violation as you are going to find. And if somebody had called that, nobody would have gone back and looked at that play and been like, how dare the referees call traveling on Bradley Beal on this play because he lost control of the ball before the third step was established. Like, this was a common sense thing. And when the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, anytime common sense rules come up and are magnified and dissected and parsed via the internet, as this one clearly was, this became a meme in and of itself. This makes your league look a little bit silly. So this is what I'm a biggest referee apologist that you're going to find. I think the job is one of the hardest things in sports. All of these different sports, I'm an apologist for refs. I give them the benefit of the doubt as much as possible. That's a common sense miss, and that's what's frustrating about it.
I would be here for the other way around, though. If they would have called a travel, I would have been so down with somebody coming out with the rulebook explanation and saying, Bradley Beal didn't travel, this is why. I would have loved that.
I knew it would have been, that person would have gotten dragged a little bit too on the internet as well. So I know it's one of those. It's like a play in football where, you know, the call is going to stand at the end of it, because whatever you call on the field, you can argue it one way or the other. But that was the call made on the field. This is kind of maybe what category this play falls into for the NBA.
Do you find the coverage of either of these annoying? Harden's streak and just his scoring in general, and Westbrook's triple double antics of late. Do you find either one of those annoying?
No, I mean, I was a part of it on Saturday night when both of those streaks were extended, and, you know, Russell had tied Will Chamberlain. We had the game Saturday night, the Thunder comeback. And in the moment, I'm enjoying it, you know, and I actually said this about James Harden on the air, too. Whatever you may think of the style of play that the Rockets emphasize, and I'm not necessarily a fan of it. I prefer, you know, what teams like Philadelphia, what teams like Golden State, you know, the high level of passing, cutting, movement, transition, and, you know, trying to find the right shot throughout the lineup. Not, you know, I saw a play where Kevin Durant passed up on a three to give Draymond Green, who just airballed the previous shot, an opportunity. I prefer that style.
Sure.
But sitting there watching James Harden, this guy makes 28-foot step-back threes like it's nothing. So the level at which he's scoring is entertaining to me when I'm sitting there in person. But, yeah, on TV, it's not a great product. I do find it a little bit annoying, especially considering the gap between Wilt's best mark, you know, what is it, 65 games, and his second best mark, 31 games. Westbrook, the triple-double streak doesn't annoy me because it is fun to track that. That being said, he also had 10 turnovers on Saturday night as part of that triple-double in the comeback against Houston. So it's not necessarily looked at. I'm sure the perspective of these things is a little bit more skewed than it needs to be.
Right. I'll actually come over the top on this. I'm annoyed by people who are annoyed by it, because I think that's the modern-day media. You can have someone like Harden playing so well, putting up amazing numbers, even Westbrook, and yet because we're in this embrace debate era now, we have to tear down both guys. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, do we have to have an opinion on anything? Like, just watch it happen.
Apparently.
And at the end of the day, like – they're either going to win or they're not. And if they're not going to win, they're not going to make a deep playoff run. And we can look at all the analytics about it, usage percentage, and how that's affected teams in the past. Like, we don't have to make that the story every night. And that's what's hilarious to me, too. Saturday night, we have the last two MVPs in the NBA on the floor. But you know what? The best player on the floor between those two teams is a guy that people aren't talking about because of the streak. Paul George should be on everybody's lips. He's having a career year, playing, I think, arguably as good as anyone in the league right now. outside of maybe Giannis. You know, I don't know what the Vegas odds are now. I would say for me, it's Giannis, PG, and James Harden are my top three, with Curry not too far behind. I mean, why aren't we talking more about Paul George and that storyline as well? Like, you don't have to make it about Westbrook. He's doing what he's doing. Track it, watch it, enjoy it. The streak's going to come to a close at some point, and then we'll focus our attention back to where it needs to be.
That's the voice of Adam Amin, excellent play-by-play guy for ESPN. Let's come full circle. Will you do karaoke anytime, anywhere? Is it like once every 3 months? How often are you doing this?
You know, for me, it's like whenever it pops up, if the opportunity pops up, I'm certainly not going to say no.
Right.
So, I mean, if you guys see that I'm in Vegas, just like, just hit me up, man. Like, we'll go knock some out somewhere. You guys seem to know the best spots for it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to work on Twista.
Don't hurt yourself. That's all I'm saying. Like, don't hurt. Like, be careful when prepping for that, all right?
Adam, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go. Who knew? You find out things on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure.
I need to tweet more of the videos that I catch. I usually Instagram them.
Pretty sure you have my Ludacris song.
Oh, I have it. I also have... Hey, Chrissy, do you remember what song you were doing at... I think it was at Naked City that one night? I was trying to find it.
Thug Love.
And you were cussing up a storm.
Yeah, Thug Love by Bone Thugs.
Boy, oh boy, some F-bombs. Like, impressive enunciation.
I got a good Snapchat from Chrissy rapping the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was very impressive. She was right on.
Well, unfortunately, in this era, you do have to be careful.
That's true.
So we'll be sending out Chrissy's video here during the break. All right, what's trending? And we'll take a quick look at our Eye on Gaming. And then Big Five is up as we'll get back into the Antonio Brown story and also more on Kyler Murray going to the NFL.
Now it's time to find out what's trending on Cofield and Company.
I cannot believe how many times we've had to do Bryce Harper is trending. I mean, we know the league is colluding. They're doing this on purpose. That's why there's hundreds of players, or over 100 free agents, not signed. But I did not believe for 1 second that we'd be at February 12th and two generational talents, as they're entering their prime, are available and no one will sign them. Now, there's interest in both of them, but the process is taking forever, to the point where, who floated this story? Bryce Harper won't take a short-term deal. Yeah, he's not going to take a short-term deal. Like, that would mean the market was so desolate that someone comes at him and they're like, hey, bro, sorry, but no one's going to sign you for 4 years, so will you take 2 and 70? Like, that's not how... It's not at that level.
Well, that's what it has to be. The only real contract that has been reported is the 10 for 300, mm-hmm. which, why on earth would you not take that if now you're like, oh, I don't know if I don't really want to do a 2 or 3 year deal.
Adam, my guess is it's not available anymore.
I think it still is. I think they want more.
Okay.
I mean that's what I think he's at. I saw.
I'm guessing it's not available from the Nats anymore. I'm not saying no one will offer that. Okay.
I think if they came back and that was where the deal was, I think they would do it. I think he wants more, and I think they always wanted more than that. I thought from the beginning they wanted 40 a year, and I didn't think they'd get it. I thought they'd get 35. But, you know, $30 million a year for where he is in his baseball career actually seems like about the right number.
Well, I think the Nats and D.C. in general, Dunsky.
Well, if you use social media as an indicator.
Well, it's got to mean something. What happened? Bryce Harper unfollowed all of the Washington Capitals players?
Yeah. He unfollowed all of the Caps players on Twitter.
Well, you know I like that.
Which is interesting that he was even following them, because I did see him last year at the, you know, in D.C. at the Capitals Golden Knights Stanley Cup games wearing Golden Knights jersey. So I don't even know why he was following Capitals players to begin with. I guess if you're pro athletes in the same town, you just kind of stick together and follow each other. But it is such... I was going to say a power move. It's not a power. I don't even know what it is. It's so passive aggressive. Just follow it. Unfollow all of the players.
That's awesome.
On Twitter.
Especially when people notice.
It's great. I love it. Now, I was having...
Hey, Chrissy, jump on the ESPN Las Vegas account and randomly block like 10 people. Let's go. Come on. Let's have some fun.
I don't know if anybody's going to
notice. Starting with Steve Cofield.
Yeah.
Why not?
Done.
Good. He's clearly been
I'll
fired.
I'll accept it.
Yeah, he's clearly been fired. I was having a conversation in the press room as we were waiting for Coach Glant to come in this morning, and there was like five of us like just all in on this. Oh my God, he's unfollowing people. This is crazy. And then one of the I'm gonna say older reporter. He's not. He's like 3 years older.
Right.
One of the older guys was like, I can't believe this is a story. And I was like, how old are you? Come on, man. This is awesome. This is interesting. It's great. This is such a 2019 story of, yes, now Bryce Harper unfollowed the Capitals players. This is news, and it is. I'm not mocking it. It really is news. It's interesting, but it's something you couldn't even imagine. Can you imagine trying to explain to somebody 10 years ago that it'd be a big news story that a baseball free agent had turned down a $300 million contract and then unfollowed players on Twitter from the hockey team in his market? But that's where we are. It's great.
Every time it happens on Instagram, wasn't there a big one with Julio Jones? Where they're like, he scrubbed the entire page of Falcons mentions. Something's happening.
It's great. The whole thing is great. I love it. This is 2019. And
it
I
is
love
peak
it.
2019 and peak immaturity and peak fun.
Awesome.
I totally enjoy it. Again, I said earlier, I have no idea where Antonio Brown is going to be traded. No clue. I don't know who's going to step up with a first, if there is a first available. No clue what the market's going to be. Where are we on Bryce now? Because these odds offshore sort of surprise me. This is interesting. Giants are now even money. Scott Baer, who's a Bay Area sports expert, was on with us earlier. He didn't seem completely convinced that the Giants were going to do it.
No.
Padres are the number two choice now. The Padres.
Great.
Plus 250. Phillies are 4-1. Dodgers are plus 750. Padres are also the second choice for Machado. And now the Yankees are minus 200 for Machado.
Yeah, I mean, Machado makes a lot more sense to the Yankees. Now, I saw Yankees Twitter really picking up yesterday. They're picking up steam on Bryce Harper.
Yankees Twitter.
Yeah, it was. Yankees Twitter was going nuts that there's possibilities of Bryce Harper. And just like the social media thing, the, hey, Bryce Harper shaved, so clearly he's going to the Yankees story. That's incredible.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, he's clean-shaven now. So that clearly – and the Yankees have a long-standing rule that you have to be clean-shaven. Clearly, that means Bryce is going to the Yankees, which that's fantastic. I don't think it's true. There's just so many different elements to this entire story. I have thought all along, as you know, until the offseason actually came, that Bryce Harper is going to the Yankees because Bryce Harper has wanted to be on the Yankees since he was 12 years old. Now, I don't think it fits – like, I don't know where he would play. I'm sure you could displace – he's one of the best outfielders in the league. So you can displace somebody, but you're already paying, you know, all this money to guys that are already in those positions. So do you make him a first baseman? I don't know what – he caught in college. Can he catch? I don't know. I don't know what you could do. It's crazy, but he just doesn't fit there like Machado does. But I do think if it can be worked out, I think that's still his first choice.
February 12th.
Still unsigned.
Excellent Big Five on the way. We've got multiple doggy stories to get to. And I think Adam's going to love the latest comparisons of Kyler Murray to a former NFL star.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company right here on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Wait.
Everybody calm down!
With Steve Cofield.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And Adam Hill.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh my goodness. That's the most badass thing I've ever heard.
Finish him.
Cofield and Company rolling into hour number three. We carry it until 7 o'clock. 7:30 start here at Thomas and Mack. Air Force in town. Rival Air Force? Annoying Air Force? We'll get to that at 5:30. We've got some thoughts. Good show so far. Talked a lot of karaoke and NBA with Adam Amin from ESPN. Adam and I fought like cats and dogs over the net rankings and how to close out a game. Adam is in full support of annihilating the opponent. I am old school, and I'm a good sport, as everyone knows when I compete. I'm all about sportsmanship.
True.
Yeah, so this will be something we'll, I'm sure we'll address again. And then Scott Baer, great job. Breaking news right here on ESPN Las Vegas that the Raiders and Oakland are back at the negotiating table to try to cut a deal to play in the Coliseum. That was after Scott said this story that emerged today that Birmingham and Tucson wanted to team up to host the Raiders. Bunch of crap. Bunch of crap. But he took us through the whole scenario the last 3-4 weeks with the vagabond Raiders trying to find a home. We'll have that podcasted after the show tonight at lvsportsnetwork.com. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
God, we love animal stories. You sent in a link yesterday. What dog show was this?
I think it's the Westminster.
Is it the big one?
Yeah,
so. You sent me a video of some little dog going 1,000 miles an hour through this obstacle course. It was amazing. And then the joke started rolling out that clearly they need to test with the dogs because this dog is hopped up on something.
I don't know if